Welcome back to part 5 of 4 in the Civil War lecture. This episode's coming a little bit later than I would have liked, but we'll get it out there nonetheless. Today we're going to start with the Battle of Antietam. We're going to go through several battles, several of the most important battles that we hear about, that we know about in the Civil War. Let's get started. Okay, first off, we're going to start with the Battle of Antietam. This is the bloodiest single day of the war. Somewhere around 23,000 casualties occur at the Battle of Antietam. This is September 17th of 1862. Remember, casualties don't mean deaths. That means deaths, injuries, and people that are missing. It's because of the Battle of Antietam that Lincoln decides that he can finally say that slavery needs to end. You see, in 1862, Lincoln and Congress had passed the Confiscation Act of 1862 that said that any of the Confederate slaves are technically captives or prisoners of war, and once the North takes over cities and towns in the South, the slaves are going to be forever free. He doesn't want to go any further because of those border states that have maintained slavery but are part of the Union. He doesn't want to make them mad, so he doesn't go further, but after Antietam, he feels like he can finally go ahead with his plan to end slavery. September 23rd of 1862, Lincoln does just that. He issues his first draft, kind of the Emancipation Proclamation that takes effect on January 1st of 1863. This does a couple of things. One, it now makes officially one of the causes of the war being slavery. It also frees exactly 0 slaves legally. Lee's Emancipation Proclamation states that the slaves that are in the territories that are fighting against the North are free. However, since he's not president or any kind of leader over those territories, they're a separate country, he can't do that. I made sure I said that they did not legally free any slaves because technically it does not. However, the slaves, when they hear that the president of the United States has said that slavery is no longer a thing, a bunch of them just take off. Thousands of slaves leave. So while it doesn't technically free any slaves, it frees a bunch of slaves. The Emancipation Proclamation does eventually lead to the 13th Amendment, which will abolish slavery in the United States. This also makes it to where the South absolutely will not agree to any terms of surrender or any kind of negotiated peace. Whenever the surrender will happen, but the peace without the surrender will not happen now because of the slavery issue. And Lincoln gets blasted for doing too much and not enough at the same time. People who want slavery gone say, look, Lincoln, there's states right here in the Union that still have slaves, and you're not doing anything about it. Like, you can do something about Kentucky, Missouri, Delaware, Maryland. You can do something about those, but you're not. You're only putting this out for people who you don't have any control of. People on the other side, those border states especially, say, whoa, you've said that this whole time this isn't about war, about slavery. What are you doing? And people leaving the army, this shoots up really quick, the number of people who leave the army, especially from Missouri, Kentucky, Maryland, and Delaware. Next, we have the Battle of Fredericksburg. This happens in December of 1862. General Burnside is now in charge of the Northern Army, and he gets pushed out of basically of command because of this attack. Basically, Burnside sees that Lee is in a really good position, decides to attack it anyway, loses horribly, and he loses his command to Fightin' Joe Hooker. Battle of Chancellorsville. This is probably the best battle that Lee wins. He splits his troops. He sends Stonewall Jackson around to attack General Hooker's right flank. And they really, really, really whip the right flank, but it's not totally annihilated. The night of the attack, Jackson goes out to do some reconnaissance. And on his way back, the Confederate troops are a little bit spooked. There was already a Northern regiment that kind of came up behind them because they were lost. And so the Confederates are a little bit nervous as to what's going on. They start shooting at everything that moves. Well, as Jackson comes back, they see somebody and they start shooting, and they shoot and maim Jackson. Jackson ends up having an arm amputated, and Jackson dies not too much longer after Chancellorsville. Battle of Gettysburg, July 1st through the 3rd of 1863, probably one of the most famous battles of the Civil War. Robert E. Lee is going to try to follow up his victory at Chancellorsville by invading the North. Last time he did this, he was whipped at Antietam. This time, he's going to move into Pennsylvania. He ends up thinking that if he can get in and get a really good victory, the Northern people, not necessarily the army, but the people, will just say, let's just get over with this. Let's stop. He also hopes that foreign intervention will come. He can get some people to help. General George Meade is now the commander of the Northern Army. He has about 92,000 soldiers. Lee has about 76,000. They meet near the small town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It's a three-day battle, and really it's a toss-up until the very, very end. At the very last gasp effort, we have General George Pickett leading a charge over across an open field. We now call Pickett's Charge, and this crushes that line of Lee's forces, and the Union wins. There are some Confederate peace negotiators that Lee had sent out to get into Washington about the time that his planned attack would be over, and by the time they get to D.C., the Confederacy is lost, and they are not even allowed in the city to negotiate any kind of peace. Of course, it's at Gettysburg that Lincoln ends up giving his famous Gettysburg Address. We also have the Battle of Vicksburg, and it's really more of a siege of Vicksburg. Grant is given command of the Union of forces that are attacking Vicksburg, and if they take Vicksburg, they get control of the entire Mississippi River. They lay siege to Vicksburg for 6 weeks. It's probably the best fought Union battle, if you will, of the war. And the South surrenders on July 4th, 1863, literally one day after Gettysburg. We have back-to-back Union victories in huge, huge monumental places. Second time Lee had tried to attack the North was in Gettysburg, and he gets pushed back. The Union forces the next day take the entirety of the Mississippi River. These two things back-to-back are huge. And the North can start to smell some victory coming on. So they end up trying to bolster their troops, and they initiate a draft in 1863, toward the fall of 1863. That's it for part 5 of 4. Part 6 of 4 will be coming out very, very soon. And that will be the last episode of this Civil War lecture. Thank you for listening.